When you're a bald man, like me, you can't really have a bad hair day because you're also having a no-hair day. I used some version of that line in an old episode of this podcast from 20 years ago, and it popped into my head recently at a wedding reception outside Joshua Tree National Park. Everyone's hair was perfect that day in the desert, but the wind started building right after the ceremony, and by the time we got to the outdoor reception, it was blowing at a steady 20, maybe even 25 miles per hour. This was the same wind that would wind up cutting short the headliner's performance at Coachella later that evening, about an hour to our south. I thought to myself, ah, wind, the great equalizer. Look at all that hair blowing all over the place. No one was immune, and no amount of product was going to keep my meager locks in place, or anyone else's for that matter, so everyone just gave in and went with it. When I got home, I listened to that ancient hoitus story about the roots of my lack of roots. It was recorded in 2005, and it still holds up, so as a bit of a departure, I bring you this classic episode called The Bald Truth. I was 17 when I lost it. And I'm not talking about my temper, my sanity, or my virginity. At the age of 17, I lost my hair. Or started to, anyway. And little did I know that from the moment those first strands of hair began to clog my shower drain, I was being lined up in the crosshairs of Madison Avenue, which has spent billions trying to make us bald guys believe that a life without hair is a life spent with that constant feeling that something is missing. I'm Jeff Hoyt. Welcome to Hoytus Interruptus. Something always takes the place of missing pieces you can take and put together, even though you know there's something missing. I still remember that first moment of concern. I was a senior in high school and thought, whoa, my hairbrush shouldn't have this much hair in it. Of course, I just blamed it on the wire hairbrush I was using. I mean, you can't start going bald when you're still a teenager, can ya? So I tried a softer, natural boar bristle hairbrush. Yeah, that should do the trick. But no change. The hair kept right on coming. Or going, depending on your point of view. Denial is a force to be reckoned with, though. I just figured, hey, I'm just a kid. I have plenty of hair to give. Something always missing, always someone missing something. Something. By the time I hit 20, though, there was no getting around it. A bald pate would be my cruel fate. And since I was forced to get used to this idea before I could even legally drink, I had plenty of time to come to peace with my ever-expanding forehead. It wasn't so bad. I quickly learned the ritual lessons that all bald men learn. For instance, I always wear a hat on a sunny summer day. Always. You people with hair talk about getting your part sunburned. Well, we, the Legion of the Follicly Challenged, have to consider our entire scalp. And believe me, that's a lesson that only has to be delivered once. I also learned in early adulthood that my science teachers were indeed correct. Heat does rise. And if there's nothing there to stop it, at the end of its journey to the top of my head, then I can kiss that heat goodbye. That means that when winter rolls around, fashion be damned, I have no problem at all with wearing a big, heavy, furry, stupid-looking hat, as long as it keeps my body heat tucked safely inside my body, where I like it. Mostly, though, I learned that despite what the advertising world would have me believe, my life as a bald man was anything but miserable. Let's see, my wife didn't leave me, my friends didn't abandon me, and my boss didn't fire me. Oh, wait, yeah, he did. Never mind. When dealing with an acute shortage of hair, you notice things, like the fact that there are only too many companies willing to get busy and seize on the balding man's vanity and insecurity by rolling out their version of the miracle hair-growing remedy du jour. In fact, the dollar amount spent on hair restoration every year already dwarfs many fields of medical research for the treatment of life-threatening diseases. U.S. News & World Report claims that the hair replacement industry, which includes both surgical and non-surgical methods, topped $1.5 billion last year alone. So many products, promising startling results, as long as you're willing to raid your children's college fund and rub the stuff into your scalp every day for the rest of eternity. I politely declined, figuring that startling results on my head would just look weird at this point in my life. I'm sure there are men who have benefited from hair-growing products or hair replacement procedures, and maybe I'll meet one someday. Personally, though, I've never seen anything better than tufts of wispy transparent fuzz or unattractive surgical marks that look a little like a clear-cut forest where the lumber company has left a few strategically placed trees among the new saplings. Startling results indeed. Not for me, thanks. As more and more of these hair-growing products have hit the open market, increasing competition has caused them to ramp up the old manipulation tactics. Today, we of the bald persuasion must endure the sexy yet sympathetic voices of women on countless radio commercials who literally drip with concerned affection as they talk about the woeful problem we face. The listener is made to feel that the sex kitten behind the microphone would happily jump into bed with him if only he wasn't so bald. She bemoans the loss of his good looks, his plunging self-confidence, and diminished sex appeal, and then brightens when she talks about the heroic hair replacement product she's being paid to endorse. A sultry coo touches her voice as she fantasizes about how much a full head of thick, sexy hair just flat out turns her on. Just try it for 30 days. Life will get better. You'll see.
I don't have it.
Given the choice, I think I prefer the sudden cascade of loose hair that greeted me at 17 over the long, slow, middle-aged crawl toward baldom that I see so many men fretting about these days. They're just not seeing the positives, like the fact that I can tell when it started to rain before anyone else, or the fact that a bad hair day can often be far worse than a no-hair day. And think of the possibilities for self-deprecating humor. I've been singled out of a crowd for good-natured abuse by bad comedians. I've had a professional team mascot play my head like a drum in front of 30,000 fans. And whenever a friend of mine bemoans the discovery of a gray hair or a new facial wrinkle, I run my hand across the bare landscape above my eyes and roll out my go-to line. Oh yeah, I so know how you feel. You know, I've started to notice that I may be losing my hair. What do you think? Does it show?
Doctor, I'm back for a visit. The symptoms are worse than before. Although it's spelled wrong, my name's up in lights. I feel so good, but you say it's all right. I've been the price if you'll help me to fight.
Well, that's it for this edition of Hoitus Interruptus. Oh, and if you enjoyed the show, please tell your friends about it. That would be so good for my diminished self-esteem. Thanks for taking the time. I'm Jeff Hoyt.
Give me a head with hair. Long, beautiful hair. Shining, gleaming, streaming, flaxing, waxing. Give me down to there. Shoulder length longer.
That is The Bald Truth from 2005, and as much as I'd like to play that entire classic Cow Sills track, my current internet music licensing agreement no longer allows it. From an island in the upper left-hand corner of the lower 48, that's Hoytus Interruptus. I'm Jeff Hoyt.